Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is going to be a marathon because I got a lot of comics, so I'll get into questions next episode. But I'm going to go through a stack of comics that I got recently, getting ready to record another DC Spotlight. And man, DC Metal, the way it started out, like before actually the DC Metal series started, I think it was called like DC Metal, The Calling or Calling. I was like, I love that issue. But when the metal itself started, I wasn't feeling it. And I finished the series and I'm still trying to get through the one shots. Wasn't still not feeling it. They're not bad. It's just not good. But one thing I'll say that's really touched me, like I'm so glad that that event happened, is the New Age of Heroes. I am loving those titles. And I just read the new Challengers, and I'm in love with that book. It could be that I'm emotionally attached now that I've been reading the old Challengers of the Unknown series very, very recently. But man, I am loving it. We're gonna be talking about that on DC Spotlight, me and Kyle. And just wanted to say that that is really good. The Terrifics, absolutely fantastic, especially artistically. I'm really liking it. I like what they're doing. I like the fact that they brought in Tom Strong, which I have read a few of his minis, but I didn't jump on when they came at Comics Greatest Worlds and Alan Moore launched all those titles. I didn't jump on any of them. I still need to add that to my list of to reads and actually procure some of those. I skipped out on Promethea Top 10. Tom Strong. I did read some Tom Strong because Wildstorm put out some more Tom Strong later on. And also, I had bought a hardcover that had some of the Tom Strong stuff in it. But as far as the other properties, didn't really get into. So it's something that I want to. I really love what they're doing with that. The fact that they had the War Wheel from Blackhawk in there, I just blew my fucking mind. And just another quickie is Sideways turned out to be like absolutely fantastic. I do think that when Rutherford's on, that that book is the strongest though, because I think when DiDio and Rutherford are writing together, and they have some instances where Justin Jordan comes in and another writer, and they do okay, but I think when those two are on the book, it is just top notch. And I really dig it. It has a feeling of like what Spider-Man is, like with the little lightheartedness. But it has a Malibu Ultraverse feel to me. I don't know why, but it does, and I dig it. So I just recorded a Geek Brunch this morning. I wanted to start archiving some of the books that I had bought. I did get to Walmart and I picked up the number 3 of Superman and the number 3 of Justice League, and I was very, very happy with that purchase because the Tom King Superman I've already read, I fell in love with that. I really, 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 and it's a mystery. Like I don't want to spoil it yet, but I will in a few weeks when people have had a chance to get to their Walmarts and tried to get this book. It's really worth it. The things that, people are shocked that some of us are so into this 100-page giant of reprints. But it is spectacularly put together, and you got to remember that a lot of us were around when they did these 100-page giants, and they were almost all reprint material with some new material. That's what these books are. It has some new material and reprints. And I like where they're doing with stuff. I like that they're throwing the Terrifics in one of the books. I like that they're throwing Sideways. They should have thrown Damage in one of them. They should throw another one because I think it gives an opportunity for people to see some of these new properties that where the New Age of Heroes is really, really, really done well. And I could be biased with the Challengers. I have always loved the Challengers of the Unknown. And every time I read them, it's just like I get deeper and deeper down that rabbit hole. I just want more and more and more. And this new Challengers, it's a mini, but it's satisfying everything that I love in comics. So let's talk about comics. So I did a mycomicshop.com order. And I picked up Mike Grell's Maggie the Cat. I love Mike Grell, and what I found out is I was just on Facebook, and sometimes people post like the oddest things. Like, I'm in a comic book group, and somebody says, I think I was in the Podcast Partners, which you have to be invited if you're a podcaster. And somebody said they were doing a review of Maggie the Cat, and I think it was there. And I was like, wow, what is Maggie the Cat? And I looked, I usually when I don't know, I go to my comic base, and I saw that there were only two issues. I had to order it. It's Mike Grell. It was supposed to be like five issues, and it didn't pan out for whatever reason. I could have asked him about him at the con recently, but didn't know it existed at the time. I look forward to diving into it. I then sometimes just go into the audit mode on my database. And when I go into my audit mode in the database, I'm searching for things that I need to complete. And I was like, I have all the Vigilante series. There's many Vigilante series that are covered, and I think there's like three minis and a couple of series. There's the big series that DC had by Marv Wolfman. And I was looking through the various, and there was a Vigilante miniseries that tied into Teen Titans, and it had a Death Trap tie-in, and I missed one of the issues, and I needed to seek it out. So I went to my comicshop.com, and I ordered this, so I have all of the Vigilante comic books, and it's important to me to have all of DC Comics. So I bought this Vigilante series. I probably should read this because I did read Death Trap, and I just missed part two of it. On Mike M's Weekly Reads, now it was Mike M's Collector's Corner. Me and Kirk were on the episode, and we were just talking about Lost in Space. We were retro TV, going down a rabbit hole, and he was talking about a Joe Jusco annual cover, and I saw it, and I was like, "Oh my God, I gotta have this!" So I placed an order with both annuals, one and two. And only one, two came in, and it was the one cover that I didn't get the Joe Jusco one. So it is sitting in my queue for my next mycomicshop.com order, but it's not there. And then going back to talking with Kirk, we were talking about Kool-Aid comics, and there was a Kool-Aid comic from my kids' childhood where I sent away, five of the Kool-Aid packets, which were little packets, really. You buy Kool-Aid in, and you pour the flavoring into your pitcher, and then you'd pour some sugar, additional sugar in there, and you'd make some Kool-Aid. And we used to like Kool-Aid as kids, and you always had those commercial, "Hey, Kool-Aid!" And there was one comic that I had, and I looked it up, and I wanted to get it again, and I bought up a really beat up copy of it because it was affordable. But I got a Kool-Aid comics free with the purchase. What I didn't remember any of it. It was just pretty much gags and puzzles for all ages, but it had some comics in there. So I was glad to purchase that because I had memories of it, and it was a comic book I had, but I don't know where it went. I then wanted to complete my Teen Titans. I wanted to complete all Teen Titans. Okay, I already have their first appearance in Brave of the Bold, all that stuff. And I already have Teen Titans number one and most of. But I was in my audit mode on my comic base again, and I realized I was missing some new Teen Titans. I'm like, what the fuck? But I'll get to that. This is from the first series. I was missing Teen Titans 18. So I picked that up. A very good copy. I was picking up 21, which is also a very good copy, almost a fine copy. Really cool cover with Hawk and Dove on it, and Speedy's grabbing Wonder Girl, and Hawk's also grabbing her. Well, not. And Speedy's saying, "Hands off, Buster," and Hawk's saying, "Make me creep." See what that's about. And then one of my favorite covers is Teen Titans number 23. And this has Donna Troy's Wonder Girl busting out of her old costume into a new costume. And this is what the kind of sort of costume, a flavor of it that you see in New Teen Titans. But it says, "Back off, Tigers. The new Wonder Girl is here." We then have, I picked up Teen Titans 32. And it's very good. And this one has Mal. It has. Flash on the cover being eaten by some sea creature in a ghost woman in the background. 15-cent cover price. That one is also a VG. And VG I'm really happy with from mycomicshop.com. I got a Teen Titans number 33. I really like this cover, and it's got Lilith, and she's been a Teen Titan. Flash is saying, "Lilith, look out!" And there's like this demon coming through this grate, cell grate, and it says, "Less than human." Or if you're a Rob Zombie fan, "More human than human." You got Teen Titans number 34. This is also a cool cover. It looks like Lilith, Speedy, and Robin on the cover. And Robin, they're knocked out and being choked. And there's a wolf. And there's Adonna Troy in a cloak. And it says, "It's our own Wonder Girl, and she's turned into a witch." And they're both being choked. The Demon of Dog Island. Teen Titans number 34 from the 1966 series, Volume 1. This copy is 37. It's a VG minus, pretty beat up. It has one of my pet peeves on it. It looks okay. It looks sort of acceptable, but it has a huge spine roll, so I'm probably gonna have to replace this one at some point. At Teen Titans number 37, this one has looks like a demon on a horse with a scepter, and he's throwing all the Titans off of the mountain or off of a bridge. He cuts the bridge with his scythe. And Lilith looks like she's there, Speedy, Kid Flash, Wonder Girl, and Robin. It says, "Scourge of the Skeletal Riders, plus bonus, Superboy meets the young Green Arrow." That'll be an interesting one. Next, we have 39, and this could take me so I have all of Volume 1, but I need to audit it. It's very important that I audit these books because when I place an order, I have every intent to feel everything, but mycomicshop.com doesn't always feel everything. They give you what they have in stock, and you may have missed out by a day or two of picking up a book. So we have Teen Titans number 39. This has the Teen Titans coming through a door, and it looks like you have some Islanders or Native Americans or something with skulls on their clubs. And it says, "Decide, Titans, die in your cell or die out here." Plus, it has the Hawk and Dove. So that could have completed Volume 1 of my Teen Titans. I then realized I have to focus. I have to try to focus to complete Batman and Detective Comics. They're a little more pricey in the ball game, especially where I need to be. So I picked up a fine copy of Detective Comics. And again, the goal is to have all of Batman and Detective Comics ever published since 1973. So I'm getting there. But I probably need about four more purchases to finish it. Not a lot of them, but I'll do like two, three books at a time because they're, in double digits. These particular books. We got 461 in fine condition. It has Batman and a bunch of rats in a sewer, and it says bait in a bat trap. We then have Batman Detective Comics 462, Kill Batman in Triplicate, and it has like a pirate dude trying to kill Batman as he's in a chunk of ice, and Batman's trying to fend him off with a sword. We have Detective Comics 466, also in fine condition. We have Back Again After 15 Years and 15 Times as Deadly, The Signal Man, and he's punching Batman. We have Detective Comics 467. It has two Batmans on the cover, one's punching the other Batman. He says, "My God, I've killed the Batman," as he punches him. And it looks like he's being electrified on a subway rail. We have Batman 468 in fine condition. This is the calculator, and this is the cheesy calculator before he became cool. And he's punching in his calculator on his chest. And it has the Justice League Satellite Era characters on the floor, and they're all passed out. Hawkman, Elongated Man, a Black Canary, Adam, and Green Arrow. And Calculator's telling Batman, "Your Justice League pals learned the hard way that they couldn't beat the Calculator, Batman. Now I compute that you have less than a minute to live." And he's shooting some kind of beam out of his head, which is like controlling like some hook. It's very strange. We have Detective Comics number 480, and this is when they had the Hawkman back up. Very special time in Detective Comics for me because I always loved Hawkman, and this is one issue, like the issue after this one or before, is the one I picked up at a Stuckey's, and I loved it so much. I read it so many times. But this one has some, they're in a construction site, somewhere like Gollum-like type beast, and it has Batman knocked out, and he's standing over him. And it says, "The Batman has been brutally beaten by the perfect fighting machine. Can anything stop this mountain of muscle now?" And then it says, "Exclusive, a high-flying adventure of Hawkman." We then get into the dollar-sized Detective Comics that I needed to finish. We have Detective Comics 481, and this one has multiple stories in it. It has a Batman Murder in the Night by Stalin and Craig Russell. It has a Robin Battles the Raven, a Batgirl Faces Death in China, Man-Bat Private Eye, and the Two Continent Caper by Dennis O'Neil and Marshall Rogers. How about that? Detective Comics 481, one of those dollar sign giants. We then have another dollar sign giant, 482, and this one has a white ape with a contraption that's hooked up to Batman's head, and it looks like he's trying to steal his mind. He says, "First I stole your mind, Batman, now I'll steal your life." And then it has a Batgirl story, a Robin story, a Batmite story, and a demon. And it says, "Flip the back cover for previews of these exciting new stories." Five all new stories, $1, one of those giant sized dollars. We then get 483, which is a Bat Family book. This one has a cool cover. It has the gunman killing Thomas Wayne and Martha back there screaming and Bruce going, "Oh my God." This is the way it began. Thomas Wayne's murder started Batman's crime-fighting career. And then it has Batman punching out a villain, and this is the way it ends. The killer instinct catches up with the Batman. It has a woman in the background screaming as he looks like he might be killing somebody. Plus, it says, "Fabulous 40th issue." That's another dollar-sized giant Batman Family in six sensational new stories. We then get into Batman 508. We're back to regularly sized issues. It says all new more pages, 60 cents, but it's not the dollar sized giant. And this is a fine condition, 508, and this has Batman with some like Egyptian looking girl, and it has a pharaoh type guy on the Sphinx, and he says, "Stand, Batman, or know the fury of the pharaoh reborn." And there's a bunch of coyotes or wolves in the background. We then have a nice Joker cover with Detective Comics 430, 532, excuse me, 60-cent cover price. It says bonus thrills with the Green Arrow story. It has Joker riding a train, like a kid's train, over tracks to run over Batman. It's a Gene Colan cover with Dick Giordano. And Batman's strapped to the tracks and looks like Joker's gonna run over him in a train. We then get back to the Atlas world where I'm trying to complete the Atlas stuff. We got Atlas Comics Fright, number one, Son of Dracula, startling origin issue. Love this cover. I mean, I'm sure it's a popular artist. Once I put it into the database, I'll figure out what it is. But I think this is the only issue of Fright. We then get into police stories, fine condition. We get police action featuring Lomax, and Lomax is punching in the door to looks like he's gonna rescue a woman from two gunmen. The phone's ringing, so bear with me, 'cause I gotta see if it's important. I'm making my way over to the phone. It's out of area. It's unimportant, so I'm not going to answer it. So we got police action featuring Lomax again. This time a girl's being held by a gunman, and it looks like this gunman had killed a cop. And he says, "Come and get it, Lomax. First I waste you, then the chick." And Lomax says, "Wrong. Your kill spree is over, punk. You're finished. Atlas Comics, police action, Lomax." And then, of course, we got police action number three, because usually I haven't run across one Atlas Comics that really went past three issues. There might be a few. Phoenix maybe was one of them. But they were very short-lived titles. This is number three, featuring Lomax, NYPD, and Luke Malone, Manhunter, police action. This guy has Lomax firing a gun at a bunch of gangsters. Looks like they're in a Chevelle, and the police is saying, "It's the mob. They've boxed us in, Lieutenant." And he says, "Stop flapping your jaw and keep firing." The mob guy is in the car shooting. He says, "This time you've bought it, Lomax. We're taking you off." And it looks like there's some guys on the bridge, on the bottom of the bridge, also shooting. I then talked about a few episodes ago me getting a collection from Reed, and he got me into Mars. What are they called? Mars Patrol. And I found out that I was missing a few issues. I think these four will complete the series for me. Issue one and two, they were started off as a title called Total War. So I bought Total War number one and two. Really nice painted covers. This is the title I talked about that was very similar to G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, but before G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero. Picked up those two copies. And then I picked up Mars Patrol number three and number five. These were in VG or fine condition. Actually, number five is in very fine, so that's a really nice copy. So I think that completed my collection of Gold Keys, Mars Patrol. We then get into Ghost Rider. And I need to audit it, but I think I have a complete run of Ghost Rider number one. I have a complete writer. What the fuck am I saying? Complete run of Ghost Rider volume two, which is Danny Ketch, minus one annual. And I need one Marvel Spotlight, which is the last issue of Ghost Rider. I have the first appearance. So we have Ghost Rider number four. This has him on a motorcycle. He's like, "Smash up, but miss me, I'm home free." And the guy with the gun's like, "That's what you think, Ghost Rider. Death stalks the demolition derby." And he's like in a demolition derby. We have Ghost Rider number five. This has Ghost Rider on a motorcycle. These covers are fucking brilliant. This has Ghost Rider on a motorcycle. They call him Roulette, the man who gambles with death. And is he alive or dead? So it looks like death is attacking Ghost Rider on that cover. We then have a cool cover on number six. This is in VG. We have Johnny Blaze saying, "Can't stop myself. It's happening again. Just like every night, I'm changing into something less than human. And only this girl knows the secret that can save me." In this issue, you and the Ghost Rider will face the menace of the second Zodiac. And he's sort of rescuing a girl through a fire hole on his motorcycle and knocking out two gunmen. Ghost Rider number seven. This one, he's also fighting the new Zodiac, death duel with the one man Zodiac. And it has another guy on a motorcycle in a weird little bluish yellow costume. And it says, guest starring the sensational stunt master. Is he a hero or a hired killer? Really cool cover as Ghost Rider and him are punching through glass on what looks like a zodiac circle. We have Ghost Rider number 12. This is in fine condition. The Phantom Eagle flies again, and the Phantom. I love the Phantom Eagle, by the way. Recent love. He's diving in on Ghost Rider. He's got that girl. It looks like the same girl that's been on the covers. Really cool, number 12. Also, Reed helped me get a lot of Ghost Riders in the last few episodes that I talked about that'll help me. This could get me like a complete run of Ghost Rider Volume 1. Looking forward to entering these in. We have another Fine Condition Ghost Rider number 25. This has Johnny Blaze again on a motorcycle. They have to put Ghost Rider like on the cover and everyone riding a motorcycle. With fear and fire, the hellborn biker blazes a trail of vengeance, and he's after a menace called Malice, possibly the most spectacular running battle ever mayhem at 180 miles per hour. Maybe that's a fast-paced action story. Sounds fantastic. We have Ghost Rider number 26. This has a Druid, the Avenger, Dr. Druid, and he's blasting Ghost Rider on the motorcycle in what looks to be a cemetery. And it says, "Your evil must end here, Hellspawn. I have the power to destroy your spirit form." Also in fine condition. We get into some really cool things that I remember as a kid. Let me organize them in order so I can talk to them. I got 4 issues of Blue Ribbon Digest. These were small digests that they sold in grocery stores, and I did have more as a kid. I don't know what happened to them. The only one I remember and I still have is the Flash. It's sort of beaten up. It has Flash, Kid Flash, and I don't remember one other character. Maybe it was Jay on the cover, all running. But these ones I purchased were Blue Ribbon Special number 1 in very good condition. It features the Legion of Superheroes featuring Superboy. I then got number 7, which is a Sergeant Rock Battle Prize Battle Tales, 100 pages of all-out action. And these are digests again. Number 7 is in fine condition. I then bought a very fine condition of the Warlord. And this is Mike Grell. And it says The Complete Demo Saga, Swords of the Demon Priest, number 10. These are almost like trades or collected editions before there even were trades or collected editions. We then have a VG copy of Army at War, Blue Ribbon Digest Special. It's number 21 in VG condition. Sergeant Rock on the cover, a Joe Kubert cover. Looks really, really cool. Oh, and I had one other one I forgot to mention, and this might not be in order. This is number 12, and it's a Blue Ribbon Special Haunted Tank featuring a four-part Goodwin Glasman epic. So let me put that in order. So I got 5 Blue Ribbon Specials. At some point, I need to go back down this rabbit hole, and it looks like the Green Bay Packers scored, which is a very good thing. We then get into New Teen Titans. I was ashamed. I had claimed victory on New Teen Titans and all the other Titan series. And during the audit, I found I was missing like 6 issues. Embarrassed. New Teen Titans number 14. I was missing it. It has Mento on the cover, going after Changeling. The quest for the killers of the Doom Patrol continues. And Changeling is saying, Changeling Beast Boy, however you want to call him, "Mento, don't do this. You're my father. How can you try to murder my best friends?" And he's trying to kill the Teen Titans, which it looks like Robot Man's there too. But it's mostly Titans. It's got Kid Flash, Donna Troy, Starfire, Robin, Cyborg, and Raven, and Robot Man. We then get into I was missing also New Teen Titans number 15, very fine condition. This has, it looks like the Fatal Five or the Brotherhood of Evil. And there's some droids that have the Titans in this tank in green slime, but Beast Boy's charging through. And it's some woman saying, "Ready, aim." And Changeling is saying, "Stop, you murdered the Doom Patrol, but I won't let you murder the Titans as well." And he's charging head first with the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. We have New Titans number 31, very fine condition. This is just a Raven cover. It has the Fatal Brotherhood of Evil Mutants on there as well as she's we just talked about. We have number 38, which is a very fine condition. This is Who is Donna Troy by Marv Wolfman, George Perez, and Romeo Thangal. Finally, this is an embarrassing one to be missing. Which means I probably didn't read it. It's part four of the Judas Contract. It's an annual, New Teen Tales of the Teen Titans, annual number three. The Judas Contract. This has the Titans, the New Teen Titans, facing Tara and Deathstroke. Really cool. And now I can say I think I have completed every single Teen Titans comic ever published since 1973 or beyond. But I want to audit to claim victory on that. I went to Batman Comic Book Day and I bought several, about two hardcovers because I wanted to get the free edition of Batman White Knight, even though I have it. This is a special Batman Day logo on it. And I wanted to get Little Gotham, which I don't have. And those are the free comic book days that I was after. And I did pick them up and I picked up. I always see if they have free comics, I'm going to buy something. And they had a $5 box of hardcovers. I bought Mystery Men, which is a pulp type book by David Liss and Patrick Zercher. I have the original issues, but I liked them so much that I thought I would double dip on this hardcover extravaganza. And then we get into The Thing and Liberty Legion. This is a collection of Thing stories by Roy Thomas, John Buscema, Sal Buscema, Trina Robbins and Don Heck. This covers it collects Invaders 170 from 1975 numbers 5 and 6. I have those. It collects Marvel Previews 29 and 30. I have those in single issues. The next two I didn't have. Fantastic Four Annual 11 and Marvel 2-in-1 number 20 and Annual number 1. So this collects all of the Liberty Legion saga. Should be a fun one. It was a good purchase. Everything's a good purchase. Love my comics. I'll be back in a bit with some issues of. In, well, maybe this will be a future episode, but I'll be covering issues of The Incredible Hulk that I'm using to complete Volume 1 of The Incredible Hulk. An order I placed with Reed, and he delivered, and it's absolutely fantastic and beautiful, and I have to go through and put those in order before I talk about them. But I want to thank you for listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads. I will append the weekly reads to this episode. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm glad for all the feedback that you gave me on the adrenaline episode. I felt really good to do that episode, and a lot of you guys liked it, said it was one of my best. I felt excited. I felt excited to be alive and reading comics, and they bring so much joy. I like to talk comics. I love when comics are always there for me, and I like to see new stuff. I like to see old stuff. It's just magic what a pencil and writing and all this color can do for a comic. So I want to thank you for listening. I had to put that away so I could start archiving some of these books to get them off of Barb's kitchen table. And I'll be back probably in a couple days to close out this episode and start another one. Hope you today's Sunday. The Packers watching the game sort of through the corner of my eye. Just finished Geek Brunch. I have DC Spotlight tonight. We gotta go grocery shopping, and the squirrels are going nuts. I'm gonna let Harley go check the squirrel, and we'll talk to you again soon. We'll talk about some Incredible Hulk issues, and I hope you have a great weekend. Well, actually, when you hear this, it'll be during the work week. So, peace out. That's welcome back to Mike M's Weekly Reads. And I went over a lot of books that I purchased recently. And I got one more Kickstarter in the mail. It was called Sucker. And it's one of the first Kickstarters I've gotten in a long time. Like, I have a whole bunch in the queue, and I haven't gotten shit. So it's good to get one every now and then. I'm so much on the fence with Kickstarters now, Because they're so goddamn expensive, especially if you go for a physical copy. And to me, the digital copy is way overpriced. But damn, I'll be damned if I don't run across like some really unique titles that just sound so damn interesting that I change my mind. And I just hope I keep. I've been getting a lot of like surveys lately, so I hope a whole bunch of them are shipping because that's what I want to happen. So I want to go over some weekly reads. Barb's out of town. She's on vacation. I should be with her on vacation, visiting home. But work needs me. And I'm staying behind so that I could get some shit done at work. Hopefully, anyway. I hope it was worth me staying. If I fail, I guess it's not. But which means that I'll probably be recording a few more episodes more than normal on these DC Weekly Reads. Just to get them. I want to keep getting caught up. And then this weekend I should have at least one podcast to do, but I gotta see if I could line somebody up for Mike M's Collector's Corner. If that doesn't pan out, I'll just do some more Mike M's Weekly Reads. So that's the state of the union. I didn't get to the comic shop today. I usually go on Wednesday, pick up my books, but because Barb's gone and I work till like 7 p.m., I couldn't make it in time because they close at 7. So I'll try again either tomorrow or Friday or on Saturday get my books. And the other weird thing that happened is my DCBS order hasn't shipped yet. I still need to place my DCBS order. There are so many good things that are in this DCBS order that I'm tempted, but I don't know if I'm gonna add them. There's a lot of like hardcovers and books and stuff that are really interesting to me. And I've listened to a couple of podcasts. Martin interviewed somebody recently, and his book is solicited. It's an anthology horror from a what were they called? A Blue Sky. I can't remember what the company is, but it's called Nightmare something or another. And I think I'm going to be adding that one. And there was a few others that I'm on the fence with that I listened to some podcasts. I listened to the Comic Book Page one, and I listened to I can't remember what the other one is. It's on the Nerdy Legion. They go over the previews. And I think there's one or two that I'm tempted to get. That I wasn't normally getting that were mentioned on those podcasts. And then on top of that, I've been reading a lot in the previews in the bathroom. That's like my bathroom book. And Harley wants to play. She wants to play with a parrot. And it's a parrot. And she's like a pirate. It's from her pirate bark box. And she wants to play hard. She's a good girl. She made it a long day today without anybody. And now she wants some attention in Daddy's podcasting. What an asshole. I should be hanging out with Harley. That's what I should be doing. But I'm petting her at the same time. So hopefully I'll keep her occupied and podcast at the same time. As far as, I think I might have mentioned this. No, I think I already mentioned like the Freedom Fighters book coming out that I'm really excited for. I was excited for some of the announcements that Steve Orlando's doing, the Electric Warriors, which is on my next. It's something I never read, but I need to get, and I put it on my next order of MyComicShop.com, and I'm excited for Martian Manhunter, believe it or not. I do want to finish the previous one though. As we go over these books, I was in the mood for reading older books, and I can tell because I picked a few this particular week. We're going to talk about books that that I read from February 26th of 2018 to March 4th of 2018, and the ratings were pretty high. I had a bunch of 3 out of 5s, 4 out of 5s, and 5 out of 5s, but no 2 out of 5s or 1 out of 5. Remember, 2 out of 5 is I don't like it. 1 out of 5 is I hated it. 3 is I like it. 4 is I really like it. And 5 is I love it. And this particular week, I think what happened is I did a lot of digital purchases, and I don't know why. I think I had read a Monica book, and I purchased a few, and they were on my iPad, and I said, let me read what I bought from Comixology. And I tried some superhero books. One was from Space Goat Productions, and one was from Lone Star Press. And also, I think the one that I'm going to talk about first is from Space Goat Productions. It's Heroines number one, and I rated it a 3 out of 5. It was decent. A woman is graduating and saves a superhero and thinks she's being recruited to join another superhero team, but the guy who is recruiting really wanted a date. She decides to form a team of woman heroes. So she's like, fuck this noise. I wanted to be on this team, and this guy was just leading me on, not to be on the team, but to get in my pants. How about that? I liked it, but I didn't pursue reading it on that particular one. Another one that I read is Punchline number one. This one is actually has a physical copy being printed by Antarctic Press, and I did order my first Antarctic Press book. I've never ordered from them before. And so we whoa, you almost took Daddy out there. You're just too damn strong. And now you got the safari hat. I love you, Harley. I mean, I really love you. You bring such joy and stress relief to my life. Just for being you. I love dogs. They are truly man's best friend. And I'd highly recommend watching Alpha if you're into movies. That's kind of like the origin story of man's best friend because it happens in the caveman days. Really well done. I didn't even know that the guy who played the main character in that movie was Nightcrawler in the new movies. So that was interesting, but it's hard to tell an actor when they're all covered in blue makeup. But I really enjoyed that series. Let's see if the Dodgers are gonna lose. The Dodgers are killing me, man. The Rockies were on top, and now they're not on top, and they're actually in LA. And the Rockies' offense lately has kind of gone down the toilet, and I don't know. I know what people are gonna say. Well, it's because they're not at home, but I don't think it's an altitude thing. I just think they're in a funk, and it's a bad time to be in a funk because this is the race, man. But so Punchline was a story about a hero on Christmas Eve is dying in a cemetery, and she runs into another girl, in which she grants her powers, which prolongs her life. So it's like a switching of powers. So that's a punchline, and it is by Antarctic Press. And I've never gotten an AP book before. They tend to be books in the manga and horror. And there's been some horror books that have been fairly interesting lately. And I ordered my first one, and it came in last DCBS order. So I really should get down on there and see if I like them as a publisher. If you hear ice squeaking, I apologize. Harley is just fired up. We then have from Luke Foster. I don't know what his imprint is, but maybe I entered him in the database. Let's check. Let's check if I entered Luke Foster in the database. And I guess I didn't. I don't know what his company name is, but Dr. Bananas I bought. I don't remember if I kickstarted this one. I don't think so. I think I bought this at a convention. I think I bought like two. I bought one on a Kickstarter, if I remember correctly. I bought two, three, and four at a convention. And then I buy his Kickstarters if he does it, because he's a good friend. So I rated this one a 3 out of 5. It's the subject matter is not really in my wheelhouse that he does, because it's like a it's slash humor slash a drunken monkey. This is Dr. Bananas is like Dr. Murrow on Mur what Dr. Monroe, what do they call it? Damn it. I can't think of his name now. Dr. Monroe on the island where he's like developing hybrids. That's what I think it is. Where animals are experimented on and they actually take over the island. I'm gonna look it up to see if I can find out. The island of Dr. Monroe. I think that's what I'm looking for. It's like a play off of that. And I've never seen that movie. Oh, I did see it. I saw a remake with Jor-El. The guy who played Jor-El in the Christopher Reeve Superman. Now I'm losing his name. Holy shit, I'm getting old. Oh my god, I can't believe I can't remember his name. Well, I hope maybe it'll come to me. Let me see if Jor. Thank God there's internet. Jor-El Superman movie. I can't believe I can't think of his name. He's a huge actor. And I even see the image and I can't remember his name. Marlon Brando. Holy crap. I can't remember Jor-El's name. But he did a movie, The Island of Dr. Monroe kind of thing. And Island of Dr. Murrow. And there was a 1977 movie. I never saw that one. But I did see the remake in 1996. And it had Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando. I really didn't like it. But I never saw the original, and sometimes the original are really, really good episodes. What else? I got distracted on Twitter, believe it or not. Have some episodes of Nerdy Legion. I tell Nelson to turn off Geek Vine and I's iPod. Tonight's recording was so pinkies up. Oh. Aha. They got a Nerdy Legion for me that's super pretentious. And I am so anti-pretentious. But I still love those guys. Hats off to Martin and Nick. They're two of my favorite podcasters, and it's chemistry, man. That's what makes that podcast magic. They could talk about watching the paint dry, and I would enjoy it. So I lost track of what I was doing. I was talking about Marlon Brando in that movie, Dr. Banana. So I give that a 3 out of 5. And then I was in the mood for doctors, I guess, because I read Dr. Radar. This one was a little bit of a disappointment, and it was a Titan comic, and I think I decided not to get the rest of them, even though there was only one more. I should check that. Because it was a Static X press again. It wasn't bad because it's a detective story. Dr. Radar. Yeah, I didn't get number two. And I didn't go on to mycomicshop.com and order it. But the premise is the detective is trying to uncover who is killing a bunch of scientists that are studying space exploration in the 1920s. That sounds fantastic. Really hard to tell what is going on because a lot of the characters look the same, and the coloring does not help because everything's done in yellow and blue. So it looks like story-wise was what kept me going on this mystery, but the art really kind of turned me off. So that's Dr. Radar from Titan Comics, but I still gave it a 3 out of 5, which means I liked it. I then went on a tear reading Black Canary, the DCU version of Black Canary, which was her musical band type when she, series. It was 4 through 10. I was trying to read the entire series. I love to do this, by the way. One of my favorite things to do is when I get on a mood, and I recently did this with the X-Men. I just tore through a 30 comics, it seems like, or at least 20 of X-Men Gold, and I just kept reading because I just wanted to keep reading. I love that I have the ability to do that, and I like it in singles format. So every now and then I get into these modes where I'm just go down the basement and I go to the unread boxes, and it's so fun just like poking through them. And I just grab a series out and just randomly start reading it. And this is what I picked. I wanted to read Black Canary. I want to do that, like we were talking about, is with Martian Manhunter and finish that Martian Manhunter series, which was out about the same time as this Black Canary. Before the new one starts, I'd like to see what the status quo is. I know he's in the Justice League now, but as a solo character, I want to see where how that ended up. I know it started pretty funky and was pretty interesting. I just didn't finish it. So Black Canary works to protect Ditto from the company she works for and the ex-lead singer who is given powers by Amanda Waller. So there's a band called Black Canary. They had another singer that wasn't Dinah, and Dinah tried to kidnap Ditto, who was a little girl member. Together, they defeat some strange sound creatures. The group goes to Germany to help Dinah, but she is back in the States and she realizes she needs to save her bandmates. Somehow, her husband is back. That's Dinah's husband, but ages during the whole process, and I'm not sure how that happened. It was a very confusing story arc, but I still enjoyed it. So don't let you think that a 3 out of 5 will ever get me to stop something, even though two of them, or actually 3 of these 3 out of 5s, I didn't continue with. Dr. Radar was just a miss in my order, and then I was like, well, I didn't order number two. Kind of like when I talked about Under, I just forgot. I forgot I ordered number one, and then number two came out, and I forgot to order it. Well, that's the same thing that happened with Dr. Radar, except I didn't go, oh crap, I love this story. I need to pick up number two, because I would have just went to mycomicshop.com, and the other two were digital copies. But if you're DC, you get a pass on any grade because I just buy you regardless. I just need to know everything. I feel I want to know everything DC. The next books and the 4 out of 5s. It's interesting because me and Kyle just did an episode of DC Spotlight focusing on the Terrifics, Sideways, and New Challengers, and it looks like this week I was focusing on myself on a New Age of Heroes, and a lot of them were 4 out of 5s. So we got Damage 1 and 2, which is the Hulk-like character in DC, where the government granted his powers to Hulk out for 1 hour at a time. The Suicide Squad there is to hunt him down. In the second issue, Damage pretty much manhandles the Suicide Squad. There's a female character with a patch on her eye who is like Colonel Thunderbolt Ross, and a major who is like Major Talbot. So this is a really close parallel to like, what if the DC universe had the Hulk in it? And he's called Damage. The one of the only differences is, I mean, there's still military bases. There's still like care supporting cast that have like mirror images of themselves. And you have a Hulk character, except he can only change it 1 hour. It's like the old Hulk. Do you remember the old Hulk in the Silver Age? He had a period of time where he could only Hulk out at night. But that was a 4 out of 5. We then jumped into an Image book, which was The Realm 1 through 3. It was a mercenary in a post-apocalyptic world is hired to protect a group of scientists on a mission. There is an evil sorcerer trying to kill them, but our hero appears to have some sorcery or magic of his own. I think we just read one for Geek Brunch, and I wanted to continue with it, so that's a good thing. Rated it a 4 out of 5. We then have Terrifics number one, which is Mr. Terrific is going after Stagg for stealing his technology and discovers he has Metamorpho trapped in the Dark Matter universe. He rescues Metamorpho and has Plastic Man. They discover Phantom Girl in the zone as well. It is a different Phantom Girl, by the way. It is a Fantastic Four in the DC universe, I said. And I guess you could say that like Phantom Girl is like Invisible Girl, Invisible Woman, and Thing is like going for Metamorpho, I think. The Torch is Plastic Man, and Mr. Terrific is Mr. Fantastic. But it's weird because you don't have that family aspect. And with the Terrifics, it has the adventure part of like a Fantastic Four, but it definitely doesn't have the family aspect to it. A matter of fact, the only thing keeping these characters together is that because they went into the Dark Matter universe, they have to stay within a 1 mile radius of each other or they'll blow up. So that's what's weird. And me and Kyle talked about this, and he was mentioning that these books, when he was reading them like monthly, like you'd get a book and then read it, and then wait a month and then read it, and then wait a month and then read another one. It wasn't really working for him, but when he sat down and reread these comics, it really worked for him. And that's how I experienced the majority of these books, is with the exception of number ones, I plowed through them and I really enjoyed them. Like I found so many aspects of that story to enjoy. Matter of fact, I forgot to take a note that the Seven Soldiers of Victory showed up in Terrifics. I love Frankenstein. I really love him. So I was really happy to see that. But that's in like number seven. So the other thing that happened is this was a Geek Brunch week, you could tell because I read Dr. Bananas, I read Dr. Radar, I read The Realm, I read She-Dragon. So She-Dragon number one. I was working on completing my Savage Dragon, and I did complete it, minus the extra covers. Like I don't get every variant, but I do have every issue as far as story goes of Savage Dragon. I even own the archives in black and white digitally. I love Savage Dragon, but anyway, I think me and Bill were talking about an episode of Geek Brunch, and he mentioned he had this She-Dragon. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And it was an original comic one shot that I didn't have. So Mr. Mike going like, I was doing like George Costanza when he was Coco, freaking out. Why don't I have this book? Why don't I have this book? Well, I went out on eBay, purchased it for Geek Brunch specifically, and we read it, and I gave it a 4 out of 5. I really liked it. I'm glad that it's part of my collection. In the Glumverse, which is like the negative zone, she manages to return to Earth at the end. That's She-Dragon, by the way. recaps a lot of her history and ties directly into Savage Dragon Monthly comic book at the time. So this was like an extension of that comic. And that is the only reason I degraded it a little bit, was because I don't remember reading, they weren't fresh in my mind, those particular issues of Savage Dragon. I think if they were fresh in my mind, that I would have liked this comic book a lot more. So, yeah, She-Dragon, 4 out of 5. We then get Jungle Action number 6. So I read this on Marvel Unlimited digitally. I don't own this book. I do have every single Black Panther comic book ever published, minus Jungle Action. So let's just go look where I am with Jungle Action. But I have every volume of the Black Panther proper. Jungle Action. So on Jungle Action, it wasn't all Black Panther. It started off with some crazy Tarzan-like character. Tharn the Magnificent. Lorna, Queen of the Jungle. And Jon of the Jungle. And that was like the first 4 issues. And then Black Panther took over on issue 5, which I don't know, own. And then Killmonger's first appearance was number 6. And so 5, 6, I don't have. I own number 7. Man, I have a long way to go on Jungle Action, because the rest is Black Panther. The weird one that I know I had, I bought this one off the shelf. And I read it like 35 times, I think. It is a 30-cent issue of Jungle Action featuring the Black Panther, number 23. A matter of fact, when I went to go see the Black Panther, there was a woman there that had this T-shirt. It's an iconic cover. I just love this Black Panther pose on the cover. I think part of the love is because I read this issue so many damn times as a kid. And I don't have it inventoried if I have it, but I have a long ways to go. So all I have on Jungle Action, I wish I could rectify this right now. 7, I have number 7. Number 15. And that's it. And number 4, but that wasn't Black Panther. So I really need to try to fill this action, Jungle Action, because I'm missing the Don McGregor. I do have these issues in a sort of epic collection. Well, the reason I say sort of is because they put out a trade that's almost like an epic, but it wasn't officially called an epic. So I have the material in printed form. I just don't have it in singles, but I do need to rectify that. It makes me itchy just thinking that I don't have it. But my focus on my next order is War Comics. So I'm going after an expensive one. I'm not going to tell you whose first appearance is, but I have queued up quite a few first appearances of key war heroes. So that's what my next target is. Matter of fact, the next order is really dedicated with the focus on war books, with the exception of like a few books. We then have a Marvel comic, another one, Adventures into Fear 16 and 17. This I read digitally as well on Marvel Unlimited. DC Universe is the new streaming service. This is a development is trying to drive out the Native Americans out of the swamps to build. This causes a war between developers and the tribe. The next issue is a Wanderer story, and there's a character called Wanderer in the Marvel Universe, which is, what if Superman landed in the swamp and Man-Thing found the rocket many, many years later? Very unusual stories. Very cool. Fear number 16 and 17 featuring the Man-Thing. I do need to order these two. I have started ordering them as I read them. I may have these. I'm going to look them up right now. Matter of fact, this is under Fear.
not feet. Fear. Fear. Is there an Adventures into Fear? Adventures into Fear with number 10. Okay, so Man Thing starts in issue 10, and I have it. And I have most of this series. I'm missing 19. Wow, I have all of these. That's pretty goddamn impressive. I'm only missing 19 of the Man Things. I'm missing 1 through 9, and then I picked up with Man Thing, and I just need number 19. Fuck. But I remember in college, man, I went to a convention and bought all of the Morbius issues. So Morbius was the character, the vampire that appeared in Spider-Man. He started right after Man Thing, and I was in a tear with this one, 'cause I fell in love. Man, I go down so many fucking rabbit holes. It's not a bit funny. But right now, live, I'm gonna go to my comic shop and look up Fear. I wonder if there'll be Adventures into Fear, but let's look up Fear. Fear. Search. Come on. Show me the money. Fear. 1970, so it is under Fear, even though it says Adventures into Fear. Number 19. Holy shit, there's a reason I don't have this one. Oh my god. Why are there only CGC copies of this? This must be a key appearance or something. Holy crap, is that expensive? They are asking in for a CGC of this book for 265, and then they have a 9.0 for 208, an 8.0 for 135, and $99. What is happening in this? Number 19. Holy shit, that's why I don't have it. It's the first appearance of Howard the Duck. And I did read this one. Oh, crap. And I just finished Howard the Duck series. I need to go after this. I need to. Oh, Barb, if you only knew. Barb says to podcast instead of order comics. Oh, boy. So let's go back on target. Stay on target. Stay on target. You know what that reference is from, right? Silencer 1 and 2. This is another New Age of Heroes. This one was one of my favorites besides Sideways. And I need to catch up on this book too. She's a character like the Punisher, but has meta abilities to make a bubble of silence when she is fighting, so she can make like a shield over her. She is shopping with her kid when attacked by an organization. She is trying to have a normal life. She defeats the guy and heads home. She is confronted by Talia al Ghul, who is also being hunted, and says her normal life is going to be disrupted. So she's in there with the League of Assassins. Really liked it. John Romita artwork. If you like his artwork, you'll probably dig this comic book, because it's pretty much current John Romita Jr. That if you like his current stuff that he did at Marvel and DC, you'll like his art here. I do. If you like to like Dazzler work and X-Men work, you probably won't, because he changed his style quite significantly. Right, I would say right now he's doing like a Kirby type influence. It doesn't look Kirby, but his layouts and largeness of life in the way he draws are very Kirby-esque. And then we have Sideways number one. This one was a high 4 out of 5, the last 4 out of 5 in this batch. A young kid is given portal powers by a Challenger Mountain event. He is a social media hero who is like Spider-Man character who first discovers his powers. He is very good friends with the girl who is a twin and helped sew his costume. So she actually created his costume. She knows about his identity. He is being hunted by a character who says he is breaking the space-time continuum every time he uses his powers. And that character is called, oh, what is his name? It's like Tempest Fugonaut. Very Kirby-esque type design of this character. I like the way he turns out. Let's just say that. Okay, then we get into the 5 out of 5s from Image Comics' Days of Hate. This one, I love this story. I need to get back on it. It's a 5 out of 5. More backstory as the one terrorist who is trying to stop the white supremacist is on the run for her former lover and the guy who is trying to hunt her. We learn the guy has a normal family life and his family is clueless to what he does. This is a very post-apocalyptic type story where two lovers, because of what happened, I think with one of the child, the two women kind of diverged and went separate ways. And one is sort of a terrorist now and one is blackmailed into capturing her lover by an organization. It's a really good comic. But Captain America 444. The Avengers work to stop a terrorist group who's threatened the president and a group of others unless Captain America shows up. He is missing and captured, but the Avengers have success because it is like they look at the situation as like, what would Cap do? I think this was a Mark Waid story, and I just read this digitally, even though I have it. Print copy of it. I have all that Mark Waid run before he was. Mark Waid had a really good run with Ron Gardney before they relaunched it, and it was well liked at the time. It's like a critically acclaimed book within podcasters and a lot of people. I don't remember it selling huge numbers, but Cap's never sold huge numbers. We have a shark book, the white number 3 and 4. A girl calls home and talks to her brother. She's actually stranded in the middle of the ocean and has a satellite phone and is trying to contact a bunch of people. And she actually calls home and talks to her brother. She talks to she was filming a movie and all the stars died and the financier of the film thinks she's full of shit and tells her to put the actors online and he doesn't want to help her. Nobody wants to help her. She gets a hold of people to help her and they're like, what part of the ocean are you in? You know, they're asking really questions because they know they fucking drove the sharks over there. So she also talks to a guy and woman that tagged the shark that is trying to kill her. The guy made a deal with the movie company because they don't want her to survive because they feel threatened. She might sue for sexual harassment because she was fired before the actual plane crashed. The woman ends up saving her when she thinks she is going to die. The stranded team manages to destroy the camera on the dorsal fin of the shark that is believed to make the shark really agitated. Fantastic series. Highly recommend this series from Devil's Due. One of my favorite comics that year, or actually the beginning of this year. And if you're into shark books or shark movies, it's a must get. White from Devil's Due Comics. That week we had a total of 28 comics. One Titan, one Space Goat. Productions, 4 Marvel, 1 Luke Foster, 1 Lone Star, 5 Image, 2 Devil's Due, and 13 DC. We then jump into March 5th through March 11th of 2018. I only read 8 books that week, 7 Marvel and 1 DC. I have an itch in my throat because I've been talking too much. So, We had Bizarro Number four, this was another thing that I pulled out of that box. You see B? Do you see the formula? I went to a box of unread material. I saw Bizarro Black Canary. This was like a funny series. This was also part of DCU right before Rebirth, right after DC 52, they did DCU. Bizarro gains the power of Zatanna. She gets it back at the end of the issue, but it's a lighthearted and fun issue. If you like comedy and if you like Bizarro, you'll probably enjoy this. If you want more seriousness in your comics, you probably won't enjoy this. If you like him in Red Hood, you might not like this because of the way it's presented. It's pretty much a Jimmy Olsen Bizarro adventure. We then have a Marvel Comics, The Falcon number 3 through 5 works with Sentinel, New Falcon, and Dr. Voodoo and Hellstrom to defeat Blackheart. If you remember, Blackheart's a Ghost Rider villain from taking over Detroit with a gangster. We then have the Nom 1 through 4. This is my first time ever reading the Nom. A new kid goes to Nom to see action and corruption. It's a. What did I mean now? I don't know what I meant by the next note. They actually go on leave, I think, in one of these issues where it's like you guys could go into town and it turns into be a freaking like disaster as they go into Saigon, you know, thinking they're gonna have a good time, a lot of sucky sucky or something. And it turns out to be like many acts of terrorism at the bar they go to. Some woman tries to knock one of the soldiers out. A lot of crazy things that happen, and I bet these guys never wish they had a leave, a shore leave. That shore leave was a freaking nightmare. So the Nom 1 through 4, there is a lot of corruption too. Like there's a lot, like you have to bribe the one guy that's running the one of the US camps, or he'll put you in the shit. Like if you want to be protected, you have to sort of pay him off or do something for him, or you'll be put in the shit where he knows you're gonna die. It's crazy. I highly recommend the Nom if you get a chance. That one I read on. I only have like 30% of the series in physical print, but they did have this one on Marvel Unlimited, and that's where I was reading it at in the middle of the night. So that was only 8 comics, man. Early March, I don't know what was going on. It would be nice to know why that week I only read 8 comics. Was I on vacation, or was I sick, or was I at work all the time? It'd be really interesting because 8 is a really low number. I'm gonna do one more week. So this is the week of March 12, 2018 to March 18, 2018. There was a total of 21 comics, 1 Valiant, 3 Marvel, 2 IDW, 4 Dynamite, 10 DC, and 1 Action Lab. We'll start at the bottom. I think I finished the series of Black Canary, 11 through 12. She fights a German musician who killed her mother, and he's a vampire demon. It got really weird towards the end. I give it a 3 out of 5. Spider King number 1. I think I read this for Geek Brunch. It's a Viking story about two factions that are at war with each other, and then aliens invade. Bill liked this a lot. I kind of was on the fence. I enjoyed it, but I decided not to continue with that one. Baby Badass number 1. This is the first Action Lab that I wasn't real hot with that was in that danger zone. It's an abused girl from a motorcycle gang finds a killer baby she wants to take care of. The baby destroys most of the gang and military that is after him. This takes place in the far, far future, but it's really weird scenarios. This baby was kind of made to be a weapon, and then he escapes the government facility. This girl working at in a bar, and she's abused by her boyfriend and just people in general. She finds the baby and wants to make the baby her own. Interesting premise. I think it could have been better for me if the execution was slightly better, but I still did enjoy it. I gave it a 3 out of 5. We then had Batman Adventures 12 through 17. I read these in a trade. I don't own a lot of the comic, or sorry, the cartoon remake type DC series, even though I want to say I'm trying to get every DC comic since 1973. I do have to procure these. I've made the decision about 6, 7 years ago that to be all in on DC, I have to get everything. That includes Vertigo, that includes Johnny DC, the kids' books, everything. At some point I'm gonna have to go back and buy these Batman adventures. But they're quick done in one adventures. One involved Bane, Scarecrow, and a savvy computer guy. Dagger's Tale is a guy in prison who tells a story of how Batman changed his direction to another inmate. Grayson competes with Boston Brand as he returns to Haley Circus and Mad Hatter and Annalis Tale. So a lot of different done in one stories. I think my favorite was the Dagger's Tale. And you can tell because I focused on that write-up probably more than anything. That was the last 3 out of 5. I then jumped into to some 4 out of 5s, which was also on the at this point in time, I wasn't sleeping well because of work. You know the reason I can tell is because I was reading a lot of DC, sorry, Marvel Unlimited. In the 4 out of 5s, I was reading Marvel Team Up number 12. This is Peter told the Daily Bugle to investigate a werewolf in San Francisco. The werewolf, this is Werewolf by Night, by the way, is being controlled by a mystical villain and orders him to kill Spider-Man. Spider-Man and the Werewolf by Night defeat the villain. We then have Marvel Team Up number 27. I think the reason I read that Marvel Team Up 12 was because it dealt with the Werewolf by Night, and then I picked up a Marvel Team Up number 27. Spider-Man framed for trying to break into a detention center is a chameleon trying to free a friend. He poses as Rick Jones and gets the Hulk to assist. Hulk and Spider-Man defeat the chameleon, and his friend gets killed by a bullet. We then get into Doc Savage, the Ring of Fire, and it burns, burns, burns that Ring of Fire. Doc Savage is prompted by the president to investigate an island where a mysterious volcano just popped up and destroyed a military base. The president thinks it is a weapon. I'm fixing some grammar as I'm going along. If I was in Word, I wouldn't have to. But I take my notes on a notepad. His niece wants him to investigate a disappearance near there. Then get into DC Comics. The story I turned out to be really fond of towards the end. That's Stormwatch 29 and 30. This was the New 52 Stormwatch, and this has Jenny Sparks, who was called Quantum, and Extremax defeated the Collective and have the artifact that will turn Jenny into a god, but she destroys it and returns to her Stormwatch family. Hellstrike, and you remember Hellstrike, remembers how he destroyed someone's family but kept the guy alive. AI decides to leave Stormwatch. The Shadow Cabinet has the Weatherman in charge. Last of the Starlin issues, and he says goodbye. Says seems like a final issue, but Sterling Gates has one issue to set up as protectors of the Earth again, as Jenny Quantum, Engineer Apollo, and Midnighter have to defeat Harksmoor as he is possessed by a city and destroying things. Jenny goes on a date and has her first kiss. The invasion happens to end the issue, but aliens turn around once threatened by Stormwatch. When Starlin left, you thought that, hey, they're gonna cancel this book, but there was one more issue left where Sterling Gates came in. We then get into Marvel Graphic Novel number 14, and this was to prep myself for reading the new Dynamite series. The first Swords of the Swashbucklers, collected by Dynamite Entertainment. This features a girl who loves the ocean on Earth, who touches an alien device and goes into a coma. In space, there are space pirates that steal from an alien race, who raids planets and enslaves people. The female alien pirate has a mother from Earth, and they enter the part of space that is like a forbidden zone, to only end up on Earth and finding her sister. She comes out of her coma, and the aliens invade, and touches the alien device again and is given powers, and they kidnap her parents. I really enjoyed that. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I haven't read a lot of Marvel graphic novels, but this is one that I did read, and I did read The Death of Captain Marvel. And I think I bought a She-Hulk issue. But I haven't read that one yet. We got Betty Page number 1. During a photo shoot on the East Coast, there was an FBI raid, and she manages to escape with the help of a scientist. The scientist hires her an assistant in LA. She is captured by a stalker that killed her previous assistant. The scientist guards find Betty because she left a descriptive note and shoot the stalker. So that was Betty Page number 1. We then get into a Valiant book, which I don't think I claim credit for. Yeah, I did. Ninjak versus the Valiant Heirs, number 2. Raku has captured Neville's family. Ninjak must steal the book of the Geomancer for her to get them released. Neville activates Unity. They track him down, and it appears Bloodshot shoots him before the Eternal Warrior and Exo can kill him. Bloodshot knows he has nanites in his system, and that is Ninjak that has nanites. So Bloodshot actually detects him, fakes the kill, is what you really find out. But that was Valiant versus the Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe, and I liked it more than the actual YouTube video. We then get into 5 out of 5's Punk's Not Dead. This was amazing, and I didn't buy it. But I did opt to get the trade paperback because I love this issue. I don't know why I didn't order it. I think I didn't read the solicit and realize it was kind of like Sid Vicious, even though they say it's not Sid Vicious. A kid and his mom try to survive in reality TV once the father is arrested for being a secret agent. That was set up and killed and stole some gold. The kid discovers he can talk to the ghost of Sid Vicious. The letters call him say it's not Sid, but someone who looks and acts like him. That's weird, because I would have just left it at Sid Vicious, unless they were worried about lawsuits. Barbarella number 1 and 2 from Dynamite Comics. Did I take credit for those? Yeah. In the future, there was a religious group that banned sexual reproductive organs, and it is a crime. Barbarella is sent to prison for many years for having a vagina. It is removed, and she is imprisoned, where she meets the person who is part of the rebellion, and they escape as nuns and meet up with a contact. She is shot, but the contact when she does not want to contact. To release very destructive. I don't know what the fuck I wrote there. She is shot. I wonder if I meant Barbarella or her friend. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry about that. Sometimes I write these in hysterical sleepiness. So I hope you enjoyed those reads. We covered 3 weeks. Plus you got a large of me reading a bunch of purchase comic books. So I want to thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Any feedback that you want to send me, please send it. I will cover it on the show. Send me questions at any time. I do have several questions archived that will keep me busy for a while, but you can send them and I will eventually answer them. And I love answering questions. So please send them. If you have topics, please send them at mike@comicbooknoise.com or on Twitter at @MikeMyersBrunch. And you can find this on the geekbrunchpodcast.com. That's the website, geekbrunchpodcast.com. And I think that's about it. So thanks for listening, and you can find us on Facebook. That's the other thing, at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, follow the episode threads there. And if you get a chance, man, this show has not received an iTunes review in like 2-3 years. So if you could leave an iTunes review, I'd be greatly appreciative. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.